You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Talk to political observers across the country, and they'll tell you one of the top congressional races to watch in 2014 is in California's 21st District. Republican David Valadao is seeking re-election to his second term, representing a southern San Joaquin Valley district where Democrats hold a voter registration edge and which went to President Obama back in 2012. This year, Valadao is facing off against two Democratic challengers, John Hernandez, who lost to the Hanford Dairyman back in 2012, and a new name on the local political landscape, Amanda Renteria. A native of Woodlake and the daughter of former farm workers, the Stanford and Harvard-educated politician was the chief of staff to Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow. She now hopes to become the first Latina to represent the South Valley in Congress. She joins us now on Valley Edition. Amanda, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be on with you.
I want to talk a little about your background in growing up in Tulare County. Did you have ambition to seek public service, to seek public office early on? What was your early life like in the Valley?
Yeah, you know, I was a busy small town girl, playing sports and, you know, doing everything I could in school. I mean, the truth is, when you grow up, you don't really, we didn't talk about politics around the kitchen table, and you didn't really know much, or at least I didn't really think I'd ever be in Washington, D.C., much less have worked there. And truthfully, even when I got into Stanford, I wasn't sure I was really going to go there. And so a whole world has really opened up from the days of when I was, you know, here playing on the softball field and here playing on the basketball court. And really my big change in life was when I got into Stanford and I realized what great opportunities there are in the world for a kid like me. And so no, it wasn't quite anything I dreamed of at, you know, when I was growing up here. But then when you look back and you think about the things that you can do to help your community, after having the kind of opportunities I did, it became immediately really the right answer. Is that I could really help folks. I could really use everything that I had learned, both growing up here as well as the preparation I had done, you know, at Stanford and Harvard, but in the United States Senate, to really do great things for the Central Valley.
Many politicians have cited their early athletic backgrounds. You mentioned playing sports just a moment ago, and because athletics is a lot about leadership. At Stanford, you played basketball for legendary coach Tara Vanderveer. What did you learn about leadership from her?
Yeah. It's working hard. There are no shortcuts. I think that's the one thing that I remember my freshman year. I lived on the third floor, and I decided for the first week and a half of our conditioning that I moved down to the first floor of my Stanford dorm because it hurt that bad to go up the stairs. And the truth is what she, I mean, from really day one of that, and that was before I had made the team because we were in the walk-on stages, you know, you sort of learn, like, there are no shortcuts, and I better work hard, and no matter what it takes, if it means I sleep on the first floor instead of the third floor, that's what you do. I think it's also that, you know, there are moments on, you know, when you're, you know, at bat and there are two outs, and it's up to you to get on base. Or as a leadoff batter on Stanford softball team, you know, it's up to you to get on base and start things off in the right way. I think there's no really substitute for having been through that a lot in your life where you're sitting there holding the bat and here comes the pitch and it's up to you. And you got the bat in your hands or you got the ball in your hands for that free throw shot. I do think that's great preparation for, you know, how do you stand there? How do you bring it in? And how do you say, okay, I can do this. And how do I step up? And so I do think it's a great preparation, and it also was a ton of fun for me.
Moving forward in your career, you eventually went to Washington, first worked for Senator Feinstein, and then later became the first Latina to be a chief of staff for a U.S. senator, in this case, Senator Stabenow from Michigan. Tell us about that experience, and what did you learn seeing Washington from the inside?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things. One is, I learned the value of public service, that, you know, there's a lot of things, I had the opportunity to do a lot of things in my career, but being able to wake up every day and your job is to try and help make people's lives better, there's no better experience than that, no better job than that. That was true when I was a teacher, and it's true as, you know, as a public servant. And I think that's one of the great things I learned. The other thing I learned is, you know, Senator Stabenow was the chairwoman of the Agriculture Committee. and her ability to talk with anyone and work with anyone was really the key to getting something done. You know, nobody thought in 2012 that we can get a bipartisan bill in the Senate during her reelection cycle. And what I saw and what I learned and what I was a part of is our big thing was you talk with everyone and you work with everyone. And that's what we did. And so it's true. You know, she had just gotten into the chair of the Agriculture Committee and no one thought we could get the ag bill done. But we did. And it was simply because we worked really hard. We worked with everyone and we kept moving forward. And what I've learned in being a staffer in the United States Senate is that's what you can do if you just work hard with others and learn how to build those coalitions. And that's the really exciting part about public service is the things that can get done.
Having experience in Washington also can be a double-edged sword politically. Your opponents are trying to paint you as a Washington, quote-unquote, insider, saying yeah. They're more in touch with the issues of the Valley than you. You've recently moved back to the Valley and now have a home in Sanger. Did going away to Washington, did going to Harvard, Stanford, going outside the Valley give you a different perspective on the issues and this place that we call home now that you've come back home?
Yeah. You know, what it taught me is that it's very, very hard. It's hard to be away from home. It's hard to be also one of the first, where there is no ground, you know, laid before you got there that you're trying to create it on your own. But it also taught me the skills that are needed to make a difference. And I feel like I learned that when I was 17 and went to Stanford. And you get there and you look at that calculus, you know, board, and you go, God, I don't know at all what's going on. On that chalkboard at the time, but I'm going to figure it out. And once I figure it out, I'm going to make sure that the next kid from a small town in the Central Valley knows that when they sit in this seat and they look at that board, they know they can do it too. And that's really what my experience when I was at, you know, Harvard and Stanford and Washington, D.C., there were moments that I had like that often where I would sit there and go, God, we can make this better for the next person. Or if we did this, we can make this better for the next family. Or if we made sure that fruits and vegetables are a permanent, you know, baseline in the farm bill, that'll help the Central Valley. That'll help other kids from small rural towns. And so that has been my experience. And, you know, some people want to say that's a negative thing. No way. It's just like every other preparation in life. I've worked really hard to make sure I've built the skills that can be very useful to the Central Valley and the place I call home. And I don't think there's any other substitute than doing that and actually doing the work that you're going to do. And I'm really excited about putting that to use for the families here.
If you just joined us on Valley Edition today, we're talking with Sanger Democrat Amanda Renteria. She is seeking office in California's 21st Congressional District, seeking to unseat Republican incumbent David Valadao. Speaking of your challenger and speaking of some of the issues in this race, immigration is one of the top concerns in your district and throughout California and the nation, of course. Your challenger or your opponent in this race, Mr. Valadao, has been supportive of some efforts, a Democratic bill out there to advance a solution for comprehensive immigration reform. How does your position on immigration differ from that of Congressman Valadao?
Yeah, you know, this is simple. I think some people think it's a lot more complicated than it is. But the truth is we just need a vote on the immigration bill that's in the House right now. And the difference is in April, Congressman Valadao had a chance to sign on to a petition to say, let's have a vote. Let's just have a vote on this immigration bill. And he didn't. He didn't step up. And the thing that he said about it was that it was going to upset the Republican Party if he were to have signed on to that petition. And I look at that and I say, God, when you're representing a district that's a 15% registration, 14% registration advantage, and you're representing a district with a 70%, you know, Latino population and with one of the largest undocumented populations, those are the folks that we're supposed to be representing, that he's supposed to be representing. That's my community. That's my district. And so the difference is that that's what I'm going to stand for. I'm going to stand for the folks in my district. The other piece that's very different about us is I know how important education was to everything that I've done in my life. And Congressman Valadao actually voted against the California Dream Act. And for many here, for families like mine, you know, going to college is that rung on that ladder to get to move forward. And the fact that he voted against that is something that, you know, for the communities here, it's a clear sign that he just doesn't quite get what the dreams are of the folks that really start out here, like my family's and like a lot of the communities I know here. And so we're quite different, not simply in sort of where we started from and what we, you know, how we know the community needs to rise. But the other piece is how we fight for things that are really important to this community.
Across the board, just about everyone running for office in Central California, you ask them about water, they say, we want more of it. We're for storage. We're for more water for Valley farmers.
Yeah.
You certainly have not strayed from that sort of rhetoric. But I want to ask you about water and the environment, because that is an issue of distinction here. Where do you stand on efforts to relax pumping restrictions in the Delta, relax environmental restrictions in regards to endangered species in the Delta? Many in Central California feel very strongly about that. Many in your party feel very much opposed to that. Where do you stand on those sorts of efforts?
Yeah, so on the water issue, I think it's kind of interesting because often people go, well, what do you think about water? And I say, do you know where I grew up? Anyone that grew up here, we've been in these battles since, as long as my entire life. And so anyone here, including me, is going to fight like heck to make sure that we have every drop of water and that we still have an ag industry and how important that is. When it comes to, so there's a couple of things. When it comes to what can we do about it, I think we need to talk about the flexibility of what we can do with managing water in Northern California. I think to say that anything is off the table doesn't make any sense at all. And so this idea that, I mean, some folks have been saying that I don't understand water, or I think that all the water should be going up to Northern California, is simply not true. Again, I've been part of these battles. I grew up here. My family's all here. We've been fighting this for a really long time. And so we've got to have more flexibility. I think the proposals that are out there in terms of that Senator Feinstein's been working on, Congressman Costa's been working on, about increasing flexibility is incredibly important, because this really does get to the question of where is water going. I think the other piece, though, is it's time to actually do some investment in the long-term future of storage, conservation, recycling, technology, and everything else that needs to be a part of that, so that 10 years from now we're not having the same fight. My kids that are growing up right here in the same valley don't look at me and say, Mom, what did you do about it? Why? That you were fighting for when you were a kid, and you're doing it again, and we're doing it again. It's time to solve it. And the truth is, in order to do that, you do need to bring different sides together. And that's the kind of history that I've had. My career in public service has been all about bringing the different sides together. And that's the difference between me and my opponent, is that I have a track record of being able to bring people together to solve really big problems, whether that's the Farm Bill, whether that's the auto reorganization. Bringing two sides together is the only way you make these big, long-term investments that change the future for the better.
When President Obama came to the Valley in February, one issue that he weighed into in talking about California's drought is climate change. And it's one that also was a controversial one amongst many in the Valley. Congressman McCarthy and Devin Nunes and others in the House GOP were very critical of President's efforts to link the drought and global warming, and the president's saying that global warming can make droughts like this more severe and more frequent. Where do you stand on efforts to address climate change in a legislative fashion in some way in Washington? And what are your thoughts on how climate change is impacting our lives here in Central California?
Yeah. Well, I'll start backwards and move forward. I have a four-year-old who came home from school and said, "Hey, Mama, I couldn't go outside today." And I said, "What happened?" He's like, "Oh, it was another bad air day." The reality here is, you know, our kids aren't able to go outside. They can't go to recess. The reality also here is there are some communities that can't drink the water or can't bathe in the water that they pay for. And I think those are real problems we need to talk about as a community. And I think those are real problems we need to figure out how do we move forward to solve. I also think that when we worked on the Farm Bill, there are quite a number of different programs on conservation and helping climate, helping farmers deal with the changing climate, called climate hubs. that was very real, working with farmers to say, how can we help you adjust to what's going on in the economy in terms of in the climate in terms of drought, in terms of dust? What can we do to improve that? And so I think about it. I think people are coming along here in the Central Valley. I think there are a number of farmers who are looking at a lot of these tools on how can I conserve water in a better way? How can I adjust to the changing climate? I think people see that, and I think people also, like myself, see when their kids come home and they haven't been out at recess what that feels like, and that we need to start having conversations and solutions to what are we going to do about clean air and clean water. And so I look forward to being part of those discussions, and I think it's incredibly imperative to have those kind of discussions here when our kids aren't outside, when we can't drink the water. I think those are incredibly important things to talk about, and I think we can solve them. Again, it's going to take someone that can work across the aisle and say, hey, guys, it's not one way or the other, but here's the common problem, and how do we solve it? And that's what I've done before, and that's what I want to do again. And so shying away from big problems isn't who I am. It's exactly who I am. I want to bring people together and say, let's finally solve this.
Around a quarter of the people in the 21st District are below the federal poverty line. This is not, unfortunately, a new situation. It goes back decades. It goes under Republican-led Congress, Democratic-led Congress, Republican presidents, Democratic presidents. You've said that your opponent, Congressman Valadao, hasn't done enough to address poverty in the district. What specifically would you advocate as solutions to this vexing issue?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things clearly is education. I have seen that there are people have taken leadership roles all across the country to figure out how do you improve education. We have a 56% graduation rate. If kids are not graduating, we're going to continue to be in this cycle of poverty. And so that's the number one thing, is we've got to start really exposing our kids to the different careers you can have. Here in the Valley, there are a couple of programs in Fresno County, actually, that's starting to really expose freshmen and sophomores to what the different careers you can have here, and then follow them along so that when they're seniors, they actually have some work experience. And for kids here growing up in rural America, sometimes you can't see all the different opportunities that are right here in the Valley, and I think that's important. The other piece is we've got to bring more jobs here. We've got to bring different industries here. And this is where I think it's about having a leader, an ambassador on behalf of the Central Valley to say to investors, this is a great place to build a business. And, you know, this is the stuff that from the ground I had worked on for the manufacturing industry in this country. And what we did is we really went out and we started to ask the questions of why isn't manufacturing in this country? And we started to figure out, what are the barriers to bringing in jobs? And we started to work those one at a time. And then we built a coalition to say, okay, how do we bring state, national businesses and investors together to say, here's the place and let us help you. As community leaders, let us help you bring the business here. But you need someone, this district needs someone who has actually done that and who knows how to do that and has a passion for that. And that's incredibly important, is that we're diversifying our economy, that we're making sure we have the jobs of the future here in the Central Valley.
We have just a few moments left, but before we go, I want to ask you about one other hot-button issue in the Valley, and one that is certainly of concern right now to many in this district, and that's high-speed rail. The cost of the Fresno to Bakersfield section just went up by $1 billion last week, and this is not the first time that we've seen that number increase and increase and increase. Where do you stand on high-speed rail? Is there at some point where it just becomes too expensive, too problematic, and too disruptive? Your opponent, Congressman Valadao, has been highly critical of this current iteration of high-speed rail and seeking to defund it. Are you supportive of high-speed rail?
Yes.
And is there a point where it becomes simply unworkable?
You know, I've said this several times, which is I agree with the vision and goals of high-speed rail. I think it's important that we are building for our future, for our kids' future, and making sure that we have what it takes to compete, not just nationally but internationally, and I think that's important. I also, having worked on city budgets and being a numbers girl, I also recognize when numbers don't work. And what happens when a business plan doesn't work. And so I do think it's important that we are looking at those numbers closely. And the truth is, yes, I do think if numbers don't work, you can't move forward. For me, that's a matter of math. But what I do hope is that I hope that communities can come together and ask the big questions, which are, hey, what's better for our community? And is there a path forward that works with the appropriate numbers and the ability to raise the funds needed? But no, you can't go forward if you don't have the right path that where the numbers work. I do recognize that, and I am just as mad as everyone else that, hey, how has this gotten out of hand? And I think we need to really respect the fact that voters voted on something, and if it's gotten out of hand, we need to look at that.
We've been talking with Amanda Renteria. She is a Sanger Democrat who is running for office in California's 21st Congressional District, challenging Republican incumbent David Valadao, as well as fellow Democratic challenger John Hernandez. The election is coming up in a few weeks. Ms. Renteria, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much. I think it was funny. The last one you said, hey, I'm going to ask you a hard question now. I think all of them were hard. So, thank you so much, but this has been a great opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again.